and we thank God for our choir. Can you give them a hand? Rejoice and be glad, for great is your reward. Amen. Thank you. Thank God for Brother Jay Tillman accompanying us. And I think we have some guest choristers. Thank you for singing with us today. Amen. Want to encourage you to join us at 4 o'clock today. You've heard the announcement. Our men's chorus will be singing, and our featured artist is Brother Jay Tillman. And we're planning a wonderful celebration at 4 o'clock today. So please come back and be with us. And then on Tuesday, we're going to the ballpark. You have to be careful. It's supposed to be hot that day, so wear hats and sunscreen and come out and join us. Next Saturday, we're having our Men's Day breakfast at the church, and we invite all men to join us for our breakfast on next Saturday. Also, our Men's Day prayer meeting this Wednesday. I want to read a passage from the book of Nehemiah, yes, chapter 8, 1 through 12. And the text says, all the people came together as one in the square before the water gate. They told Ezra, the teacher of the law, to bring out the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded for Israel. So on the first day of the seventh month, Ezra the priest brought the law before the assembly, which was made up of men and women, and all who were able to understand. He read it aloud from daybreak till noon, as he faced the square before the water gate, in the presence of the men, women, and others who could understand. And all the people listened attentively to the book of the law. Ezra, the teacher of the law, stood on a high wooden platform built for the occasion. Beside him on his right stood, and there are a bunch of names that I didn't try to figure out before today. So on his right stood a bunch of good brothers. And let me skip to verse 5. Ezra opened the book. Verse 5, all the people could see him because he was standing above them, and as he opened it, the people all stood up. Ezra praised the Lord, the great God, and all the people lifted their hands and responded, Amen, Amen. Then they bowed down and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. The Levites, these brothers listed here, instructed the people in the law while the people were standing there. Verse 8, they read from the book of the law of God, making it clear and giving the meaning so that the people understood what was being read. Then Nehemiah, the governor, Ezra, the priest, and the teacher of the law, and the Levites, who were instructing the people, said to them all, this day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep, for all the people have been weeping as they listened to the words of the law. Nehemiah said, go and enjoy choice food and sweet drinks, and send some to those who have nothing prepared. This day is holy to our Lord. Do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. The Levites calmed all the people, saying, be still, for this is a holy day. Do not grieve. Then all the people went away to eat and drink, to send portions of food, and to celebrate with great joy, because they now understood the words that had been made known to them. The word of our God. Good tears. It's the title of my message. I remember when my daughter, my oldest child, Regine, who will be 40 years old next Sunday, graduated college. It was a special day for me, my family, and for Regine. You see, as you know, when Regine was in preschool, we discovered that she had a learning disability. When it was time for her to go to elementary school, she had to be placed in special ed classes. And I still remember all those conferences Zenodia and I attended with teachers, social workers, and psychologists. They called them IEP conferences, as we mapped out her learning goals each year. And this is not my paper. We had to fight those folk to make sure that they weren't just giving her stuff to make her function, but they were giving her academic goals as well. As parents, Zenodia and I were always concerned about her future, whether she would be able to achieve and take care of herself. Fast forward a few years, Regine graduated high school and decided to go to the local junior college. And she stayed at that junior college for 4 years. And one day she came home and announced that she was going to enroll at Eastern Illinois University. And we were surprised. And when she told us, she had already filled out the application. And so she enrolled, and she spent another 4 years at Eastern Illinois University. She was there so long, and in junior college so long, because she had to repeat many of the classes that were too difficult for her. But she persevered, and finally, she completed all of her requirements for graduation despite her disability. It was a blessed time for her and for our family. At the graduation, as I sat in the stands watching my baby march in, wearing her graduation robe, I began to cry. And as she walked across the stage to receive her degree, the tears just kept flowing. And my son, Chris, who was sitting next to me, said, "Dad, are you okay? Why are you crying?" And I said to him, "Look at what your sister accomplished. She didn't have all the skills you have, but she worked hard and finished. I'm crying because I'm happy, and I'm so proud of her." Anytime, this is not my paper, anytime I think about it, I get emotional. Because my daughter was the oldest, and she was the first to graduate college, and I was glad about that. And just like her siblings who graduated college, she was able to go away to college, to stay in a dormitory, to have her own apartment, and she did all that by herself. And every time I think about it, I get tears of joy. And those tears on that graduation day were good tears. Tears of gratitude and tears of pride. We shed tears for many reasons. We shed tears of sadness. We shed tears of grief. We shed tears because of the pain we've experienced. We shed tears of relief. We also shed tears of joy. And often we shed good tears, tears that cleanse the soul and revive the spirit. And today I want to talk about good tears. Sometimes it's good to cry because tears bring release. Tears express the profound impact that experiences have on us. I reference tears because in our text, in Nehemiah, God's people shed tears. The reason they weep is powerful and interesting. You see, the people who are weeping are the ones who have returned from captivity. They have come back to the city of Jerusalem and are part of the rebuilding process of the city. You might recall that Nehemiah initiates a rebuilding campaign in Jerusalem. He goes to the city and he begins to have despair over the condition of the city. When he arrives, the city is impoverished and in ruins, and he sets out to restore Jerusalem to her former glory. And after rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem, then God's people, the former captives, return and they seek to rebuild their relationship with God. Are y'all here today? Let me borrow an amen. The people summon Ezra the priest, and they ask him to bring scrolls of the law of Moses and to read the law to them. They have been in captivity for a long time, and it's been quite a while since they have heard the words of the law. And our text takes us to the scene. Let's look more closely at the scene in the text. It begins with the reading of the Torah. That's the Jewish term for the Old Testament, for the law. The text says, all the people came together as one in the square before the water gate. They told Ezra, the teacher of the law, to bring out the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded for Israel. What a powerful scene. Men, women, and children who are able to understand gather at the square opposite the water gate. And that water gate was a part of the rebuilt walls of Jerusalem. The water gate is located on the east side of the city, outside of the temple precincts, so that women and men, laity and clergy, can participate together. Ezra the priest stands on a wooden platform above the people. He opens the scrolls. There were no books like we have. He opens the scrolls and offers a blessing for the reading. And when Ezra opens the scrolls, the people stand up as a sign of respect and reverence for the law. After Ezra's blessing, the people respond, Amen. Amen. The double Amen means that the people, one, agree with the blessing, and two, accept the reading of the law. And with the assistance of the Levites, Ezra begins to read. He reads from early morning to noon. About 6 hours, he stands there reading the law. And it's amazing that the people stand there in rapt attention, listening to the reading for hours. When we view this scene, we learn about the centrality of the law in the life of the people. True faith is rooted in the word, is rooted in God's law. And that the community summons Ezra and calls for the reading of the law suggests that they realize the importance of the word and how the word shapes their lives. It's a powerful scene. He stands and reads, and they stand there listening for 6 hours. Many African American congregations draw upon this story as a basis for their response to the Word of God. When someone reads the scriptures in worship, in many congregations, the congregants stand up during the reading. Have you all been there in churches? Members stand up. And when someone asks, why are the people standing? The answer is they stand out of respect for the Word of God. In some places of worship, the pulpit is elevated. It is on a raised platform, just like this is a raised platform. We call it a rostrum. It's a raised platform. And that also grows out of this passage in Nehemiah, which indicates that Ezra stood on a raised platform above the people. The response of the people standing and the elevation of the pulpit speak to the significance of the word. And that the people listen so long is an indication that the word is important and necessary. We can't get people to come to Sunday school and to show up for Bible study. And these folks stood for 6 hours just because of the importance of the Word of God. So you have the reading of the Torah, and then you have the interpretation of the law. The Bible says they read from the book of the law of God, making it clear and giving the meaning so that the people understood what was being read. Then Nehemiah the governor, Ezra the priest and teacher of the law, and the Levites who were instructing the people. Not only does Ezra read the law, but there is a group of 13 Levites, all those names I couldn't pronounce, who interpret the reading. These men stand with Ezra to support him and to assist him with interpreting God's word to the people. The Levites, these men, they go out in the crowd among the people and translate the words of the law from the Hebrew into the more familiar Aramaic and explain the meaning. So Ezra stands there reading the law for 6 hours. And as he reads, these other men go into the crowd and they go from paragraph to paragraph. We call that expository teaching. They go from paragraph to paragraph to help the people understand the meaning of the law in Aramaic. And I like that. I like what happens there. I like that Ezra and the Levites know that it's not enough to merely hear the word. It's not enough to merely reverence the word. The word must be taught. And the word must be understood. True worship is rooted in true understanding. I tell you, when you don't know the word and when you don't know what the word means, you come up with all kinds of doctrines and all kinds of things. And it's even worse when people who are writing songs and so-called Christian songs have never read the Bible, don't know what the Bible says, and so they come up with all kinds of junk and call it religious music. True worship is rooted in true understanding. It's been quite a while since the people have heard the law. It's been quite a while since the people have been taught the ways of God. And Ezra wants to be sure that they know what God says and that they understand what God says. That's why we're talking this quarter about going deeper. Because if we're going to grow individually, if we're going to grow as a congregation, we have to know the Bible. We have to know the Word of God, and we have to understand what the Word of God says and means. And I like the fact that the Levites translate this word, this Hebrew, into the familiar Aramaic that the people speak, because we need to hear the word in language that we can understand. Doesn't matter if you just read a passage of scripture, if nobody gets what you're saying, if nobody understands what you're saying, you're not being helpful at all. You all remember the story of the Ethiopian eunuch. And you remember that when Philip encounters him, the eunuch is in his chariot reading the word. But he doesn't understand what the word is saying. And Philip says to him, "Do you understand what you're reading?" And he says, "No, unless someone explains it to me." Philip gets into the eunuch's chariot, starts where he is reading, and teaches him the meaning of the word of God. And Philip's teaching leads the eunuch to accept Jesus as Savior and as Lord. It doesn't make sense to walk up to somebody and say, "Are you saved? And do you love the Lord?" if they don't know what saved means. You have to explain to them what the word means and help them to understand the word. The word of God has to be preached and taught plainly so that people understand what God is saying and what God is doing. Proper understanding leads to proper faith. And when we know better, we do better. And when we know better, we live better. What a lesson for us. As we go deeper into the word, let us make sure that we have the right interpretation. So you got the reading, 6 hours of reading. And then you got the interpretation. The Levites go into the crowd and explain the meaning of the word. And then the people begin to weep. They start crying. The text says, "Then Nehemiah the governor, Ezra the priest, and teacher of the law, and the Levites who were instructing the people said to them all, 'This day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep.' For all the people had been weeping as they listened to the words of the law." This was a moving experience for the people. And I'm sure that part of the reason is it's been a long time since the people worshiped in Jerusalem. They have been captives in a foreign land. They have been away from Jerusalem and the familiar surroundings of their faith. This was a special moment for them. The people are so overwhelmed that they start weeping as they listen to the reading and listen to the interpretation. And their weeping is so palpable that Nehemiah, Ezra, and the Levites try to calm them down. Their weeping takes over the experience. Why? Why are the people weeping? Perhaps it's because they hear the warnings of the law. Perhaps they've heard something read they know they haven't lived up to. Perhaps it's because the moment has just filled them with emotion. Why are they weeping? Perhaps it's because they realize how far removed they are from the promises of God. Sometimes life shows you what you could have had. And life shows you what you've missed. Sometimes you don't realize how good you had it. How good your parents were, how good your loved ones were until you're away from them. And when you realize it, you begin to cry. Sometimes you don't miss your water until your well runs dry. Why are the people weeping? Perhaps they are like the psalmist when he wrote, we wept when we remembered Zion. Hung our harps on the willows in the midst. I like the fact that the people are weeping, because weeping indicates that the law is having an effect on them. It suggests that the reading and the interpretation is igniting transformation. You see, when people are not weeping and when they're not saying anything to you, they're just looking at you and sleeping in front of you, you don't think the word is having any kind of impact. Help me, Holy Ghost. Help me, Jesus, get through it. But their weeping suggests that transformation is occurring, that the law is changing their hearts and changing their minds. Someone said, we not only read the word, but the word reads us. And when the word reads us, it brings change and transformation. And as the people weep, Nehemiah, Ezra, and the Levites teach the people about good tears. They say to the people, you should not weep out of sadness. You should weep out of joy. They tell the people, don't cry and mourn. This is a good day. It's no time to mourn. This is a time to rejoice. You see, the law is not a source of sorrow or sadness. The law is a source of joy. And so he says, the joy of the Lord is your strength. He says, you should have good tears because we have rediscovered the law of God. And the law of God empowers those who hear it and those who interpret it. Ezra and Nehemiah say to the people, the reason we are here today, the reason we are able to hear the law again is God has brought us out of captivity. That God has rebuilt the walls of Jerusalem as an indication of the goodness of God. They say the bad stuff is all over with. You're no longer in captivity. God is acting and God is moving. So don't cry, don't mourn, but rejoice because of what God has done. People are told to turn their tears into good tears. And they say, don't cry. Go out of here. Rejoice. Eat the good food. Send portions to those for whom nothing is prepared. Go out and praise God. And that's what the people do. They turn their tears into good tears. And they allow the law to be a source of joy. I get it. I get it. Sometimes when we return to the places of our past, it can be a difficult thing to experience. Sometimes when we go back to the old neighborhood, the old homestead, and see the changes that have taken place over the years, it can be difficult. You go back to your old neighborhood, your old homestead. You remember the families that lived there and the persons you grew up with. You remember the good days and the connections that the old neighborhood brings to mind. And then when you see the decay, the missing buildings, and the folks who are no longer there, sometimes it tugs at your heart. And it makes you weep about what once was. It makes you sad. I get it. But Ezra and Nehemiah are saying to the people, don't worry about what memories come back to you because of the law of God. God is still moving. And God is still with you. So let your tears be good tears. And that's what I'm saying to us today. The word of God ought to be a source of joy. And reading the word and understanding the word of God ought to give us hope and to give us strength. The Bible says the word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. In fact, we're here today, beloved, because of the power of the word of God. There's so much about the word that helps us every day. The word teaches us how to live. The word teaches us what to say. The word teaches us about the promises of God. And the word of God gives us hope and gives us comfort. It gives us good tears. Sometimes I cry when I read the word, especially in the King James Version, because the King James Version is in my spirit, because that's the version I grew up hearing. And sometimes when I read or remember a passage of scripture, it makes me cry. Scriptures like, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And then that sixth verse, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. It's not when I read it on Sunday that it makes me cry, but it's when I read it during the week, when the storms of life are raging, and I remember the Lord is my shepherd, it makes me cry. Sometimes when I read and remember God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. I like this verse. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. I get tears in my eyes when I hear God say, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. And when I go to the hospital to visit somebody and I'm about to pray for them and the words of Romans come to my spirit, I hear Paul saying, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Oh, bless the name of Jesus. And when I'm worried about the future, and when I'm worried about how I'm going to make it, and when I'm worried about the problems I'm facing, I hear Isaiah saying, has thou not known? Has thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. I tell you, the word makes me happy. The word strengthens my spirit. The word gives me encouragement. The word helps me to go on. I hear God saying, I won't fail you. I won't forsake you. I hear God saying, weeping may endure for a night, but joy will come in the morning. I hear God saying, I will be with you. I will walk with you. I hear God saying, whatever he will do. And so I thank God for the word. And I don't have to come to church to get the word. And it doesn't have to be a Sunday to get the word. The word is with me everywhere I go. The word wraps itself around me. The word holds me in the midnight hour. The word of God is what we need, beloved. And so don't just leave out of here and say, I'm a member of Ebenezer, and say, I went to church today. Leave out of here with the word of God in your spirit. Because I tell you, I'm on my way to the hospital to visit a couple of people today. But you know, Reverend might not get to the hospital. But if you know the word of God, God will get to the hospital. God will show up. God will bring healing. God will guide the doctors. God will hold you when nobody else can hold you. That word of God. Feed upon it and go deeper into the word. We extend the invitation to Christ. Yeah. today. And we invite you to go deeper with us as we go deeper in God's Word. We've got to know more than just there are 66 books in the Bible, 39 in the Old Testament, 27 in the New Testament, and that there are apocryphal readings that other Christian groups use. Everybody knows that. We've got to know what those books contain and what they say and what they mean. And what they say is God has come in Jesus Christ and Jesus has given his life for our sin. And if you receive him by faith, he will come in wherever you are, whenever you choose, and he will sup with you and he will go with you. It's that we offer you today. Will you stand with me as our ministers, deacons, and greeters come? We extend the invocation to Jesus Christ. If you're viewing us online, you can go to belonging@ebc3austin.org and let us know of your faith. The invitation is extended. Yes.
And knowing Jesus.
Yes.
He will pick you up and turn your life around. You ought to know him.
That's a good one.
Get to know.
Hallelujah.
There's nothing better
than knowing Jesus.
Than knowing Jesus. He gets sweeter as the days go by.
Yeah.
Yes.
You ought to know him.
You ought to know him. Hallelujah.
Get to know.
Get to know him. Oh,
right now, today, just come.
Won't you come? There's still room. There's still room. Deaconesses, trustees, line up over here for the right hand of fellowship as we prepare to extend the hand of fellowship to two of our members. These members, Doug Andrews, Kelly Andrews, and Cecily Hill, who is unable to be with us today, have completed their new member classes. Amen. And the certificate says, Doug, Kelly Andrews, having manifested credible evidence that they have been converted and have entered into covenant with Ebenezer Third Baptist Church, and having completed the course of instruction for new members, is hereby awarded this certificate, commending them to the further joys of Christian life and church membership, is signed by the pastor and the chair of deacons. Amen. Say amen for them. Thank you.
Amen. Let us stand together for our church covenant and let us read it together.